How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome along to episode 21 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm feeling fantastic. I had a lovely weekend. I've got a cup of coffee. The World Cup's been great. But Stephen Mill, for the second week running, is feeling a bit rough and ready.
Was that hungover last week as well?
Mate, you text me last night.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
To remind me that I needed to bring a change of clothing with me because we're getting pictures taken for the big Saturday football show. So you were up at 1 o'clock in the morning and intern Callum, who stays with you, said that when you came in, you went to the room where the rabbit is and you were sat talking to the rabbit for ages last night.
Yeah, because he needed his rabbit medicine. So I gave him his rabbit medicine.
And you sat and spoke to him for a while?
Yeah.
Do you remember the conversation with the rabbit?
Absolutely not. No recollection of that.
Intern Callum recorded it.
No, he didn't. He absolutely didn't.
Do you remember much of last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can hear in your throat. Was that a good night? Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Okay. What time did you wake up this morning?
Well, it's now 10:27 and I've been awake for at least half an hour now. So, you know, it's been a great morning so far. So anyway, welcome along to the next episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. In today's episode, we'll review all the SPFL Trust Trophy action because Dunfermline are through the quarterfinals, a 5-1 thumping victory against Arbroath on Friday night. The result that everyone's talking about.
Nobody cares.
Nah, even I don't care, to be honest with you. But the Scottish Premiership is back this week. Rangers versus Hibs on Thursday night. Full card on Saturday as well, apart from Rangers and Hibs, obviously. So that's something to look forward to. We'll also check in with if Scottish football were Christmas, even though it's a week early, because next week's going to be our last episode before Christmas, but never mind. And we'll look at the World Cup semi-finals as well. So remember, you can get us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter at Big Football Scott. And we're on Instagram, Facebook. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right. Let's get stuck into it then. Nobody cares about the SPFL Trust Trophy. Why you put this on the sheet, intern Calm? I don't care. I don't care at all. I honestly don't
care. Even though Dunfermline had a great victory on Friday night by beating Arbroath by 4-1.
Listen, it was good that we won on Friday night. I'm happy with that, obviously. It was apparently a very good performance. I've watched the goals as well, some great goals. But ultimately, don't care.
I didn't even know it was happening. Yeah. I was watching the World Cup.
I was watching the World Cup as well.
And you messaged me to say, this is on the result that matters tonight.
Mm. That was a joke, though.
I could tell it was a joke.
Yeah.
So are we going to go through all the other fixtures from the weekend, or can we just ignore that?
I don't really care.
Do we have to not that.
East Fife drew with Bonnyrigg 0-0. Stenhouse Muir 1-4.
Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it?
Keep going.
Clyde beat Elgin on penalties.
Kelly Linfield, if you want to know.
Kelly won on penalties against Linfield. Hamilton beat Inverness 2-0. Queen's Park beat Montrose 2-0.
See, because it's written on this piece of paper that intern Callum...
Raith Rovers beat Morton on
penalties.
Nobody
cares, mate. Nobody cares.
In the Highland League, Brechin beat Devon Vale 7-1, if you're interested.
Again, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Even the one man and his dog that turned up to those games doesn't care. He was only there to get the dugout.
Yeah. I think so.
And to get away from doing some Christmas shopping.
Right, let's talk about the World Cup then, because it was a big weekend for the World Cup. I thought Friday night was absolutely tremendous. A great game of football. It had everything. Everyone was moaning their chops off about how Holland were playing in the last 20. Oh, that's not how Holland play football. And I thought it was great. I thought it was amazing. And then they were all booting each other off the pitch. 19 players getting booked. The Argentinian guy, when he fired it into the dugout, great stuff. It's what you love to see with football. What are you looking at?
You've jumped ahead of yourself.
I don't care.
It's
not till part five, the World Cup. What are you doing, you muppet?
No, Scottish football first.
Can I just say, the problem is here, because he's hungover, he just wants to get us over and done with and out the door.
Yep,
so this could be the shortest podcast we've ever done, and it's not happening. We're going to do it as we would normally do, and we're going to talk about Scottish football before we get to the World Cup. Let's talk about, which was very good, because I watched it, Sky Sports Cup final, Hibs versus Rangers at Tynecastle. Brilliant victory for Rangers. Did you see that opening goal?
A screamer.
I didn't know.
Left foot.
It's a screamer.
It's an absolute screamer. It is top corner. It is stunning. It is amazing. It's one of the goals of the season.
Lizzie Arnott.
Lizzie Arnott. Did you watch it?
I've met her.
No, I've just seen the highlights.
You've met her?
I've met Lizzie Arnott.
Well, she's got a lethal left foot on her because she absolutely smashed one into the top corner. It was brilliant. And 3,500 fans turned up at Tynecastle to watch the Sky Sports Cup final, and Rangers won it. So congratulations to Rangers in winning the cup. And is it the first of many cups for the football club that is known as Rangers?
Maybe. It's his first Sky Sports Cup because that's the recent brand.
I'm talking about Rangers as a whole. So the women have shown the way. Oh. Can Rangers, the men's team, follow suit? Or will the women's team be the only successful team for Rangers this year? That's a question I'm putting to you, Stephen Mill.
I think Rangers might win a cup.
You don't care, do you?
No.
You're in one of those moods today. I can tell that he just doesn't care about anything.
Do you know what? I think the people deserve better.
I do.
The listeners deserve better.
I think they deserve better as well. I mean, he's jumped ahead of three or four things before we even get to the World Cup. So, Stephen Mill, you're an absolute disgrace and an embarrassment.
How?
And I expect better from you.
How?
Because you've come in here unprepared.
I'm
you've
very
come in,
prepared.
No. Well, if you were prepared, you'd have known. You'd have known that chapter five of the script.
Chapter five
of the script was the World Cup. So you missed out three chapters.
Because everyone's talking about the World Cup, so I thought I'd start with that. That's basically why I thought I'd start with that, because that's what everyone's talking about. Nobody's talking about anything.
There's
else.
A reason why we have intern Callum, right? He puts us right. He sets up the day. He sets up the podcast, and we follow the instructions that are on the piece of paper that's in front of us. You decided to ignore it.
Can we move on to chapter three then?
Let's move on to chapter three.
Chapter three, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Rangers versus Hibs at Ibrox. It's the first game in charge for Michael Beale. Lee Johnson already been in the paper saying they're not as good as Celtic. Really good thing to do before they play Rangers at Ibrox, I think. Some good psychology he's got going on there. I think Rangers will absolutely batter them.
I think the Rangers are always going to go and batter them. But with Lee Johnson's comments, that's just added a wee bit fuel to the fire. And he might regret saying what he said, because I think Rangers are going to take them to the cleaners. I think Hibs have got problems. Huge problems.
I've been saying that all season.
It's weird you have said, and I disagreed with you, because I said at the start of the season I thought Hibs might have a decent run at it with Lee Johnson in charge, who's done a decent job with clubs down south. But something is fundamentally wrong, and I don't know if the stories are true. But he doesn't live in Scotland, does he? Does he commute?
I think he commutes back and forth. Yeah.
See, that's never going to work out, really, is it?
Mm.
So I think the Hibs have got problems. I think they're more likely to be looking what's coming from behind them than what's in front of them, because I don't think they're going to threaten for third spot. I think they could struggle to even finish in the top six. And I know you predicted that at the start of the season. I disagreed with you. I'm now in your court, and I think you could be right. And I think they're in for an absolute spanking on Thursday night. I think it could be 3-4-5-0.
Saturday, Aberdeen versus Celtic is a 12:30 kickoff. It's an early one. And, I mean, it's a tough start back for Celtic. Aberdeen, good form at home. Look decent so far this season.
Bitterly cold.
It's going to be Baltic as well.
Unbelievably cold. I mean, I have struggled the last couple of days at my house.
Yeah, and if you're struggling at your house, then
I'm struggling at my house.
Aberdeen and Celtic will struggle playing football. So I'm saying that Celtic will win.
Well, it's you're coming off the back of a break.
Celtic will win.
And it's a 12:30 kickoff.
They usually do.
It's freezing cold. And you know how cold it is? I struggled to open up the door to my car this morning. I was up at like 4:30 and my car was covered in ice.
What are you up at 4:30 for?
I do the breakfast show, we can't.
I'd be, why are you up at 4:30?
Because that's what my alarm goes.
Six.
Yeah, I know, but my alarm goes at 4:30 so I can get up and get ready. It's an hour drive for me.
Right. Remember, it's Falkirk, it's a horse and cart to get to work.
Exactly, yes, I suppose, yeah. That's the technology they have in Falkirk.
You, my friend, are a dick. Right? So, see the car door? It literally was glued to the car.
It was literally glued.
I couldn't open it up because it was so icy.
Why was it glued?
No, what? No.
You said it was literally glued.
At least I know what you did with the horse.
That's why.
That was actually very good.
That was good.
So it was like a proper, I thought I was going to break the handle off my car. It was so icy. But thankfully, because I'm a sensible person, I prepared for the eventuality of having a very icy car this morning and also yesterday. I had a cover over the windscreen. So when I removed the cover from the windscreen, it was clear of ice. So I didn't have to sit there for 20 minutes waiting for the ice to clear from the windscreen. So I am a sensible guy, and I would recommend to anybody listening, because the weather's going to be Baltic for the next week or two. We're looking at -6, -7, -1, your highs. Put something over your windscreen and you won't have the problem of trying to defrost your car in the morning. So do the sensible thing and cover your windscreen. That's my advice to you during this Baltic cold weather. And if you're heading to Aberdeen, Celtic fans, wrap up. It's about layers. Okay, wear layers. This is advice. This is for football fans who are going to be standing in Baltic weather for 2 hours.
Long Johns?
Mate, I'm going to show you.
I don't know. Where's HR?
Mate, just
why are you that? Why are you undoing your belt?
Look.
Stephen, please make it
look.
Stop.
Look, what's underneath. What have I got on?
He does have Long Johns on.
I actually have Long Johns on. That's all I'm showing you. Because I'm prepared. So if you're a football fan, headed to the game this weekend, it's going to be -2, -3. It's not about what you wear, it's what you also wear underneath. Layers. You need layers. So I've got my Long Johns on, I've got sensible socks on, right?
What are sensible socks?
Look, I'll show you.
Great for an audio medium, this.
If you could maybe describe them to the listener, that'd be great.
You use them when you climb mountains.
Right.
They keep the heat in. Right. So when you go walking in mountains or up hills, you wear those socks.
When's the last time you climbed up a mountain?
That's not the point. It's about keeping yourself warm and safe during the Baltic weather. Mm-hmm. So, Long Johns, mountain socks. Good footwear.
Fleece. Some sort of fleecy jumper.
Which I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's a polar neck.
Yeah.
With a zip. Underneath, a long sleeve t-shirt.
Maybe some sort of Berghaus jacket as well.
Montaigne. I've got a Montaigne. I've got two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. So I've got that in and I've got a hat on. I've got a woolly hat, but I'm wearing a cap just now. So that's just advice for football fans heading to football this weekend.
Hearts versus Kilmarnock, Livingston, Dundee United, Motherwell, St Mirren, Ross County, St Johnstone as well. Celtic, in case you need reminding, are top by 9 points. Livy could go third. Hibs flirting with the bottom. Dundee United could be rooted to the bottom come this weekend. And they are taking on Livingston at Livingston. So predictions, please. You and Cameron will run through the scores and the results and the fixtures, and you do your bell up there. So Rangers versus Hibs at Ibrox, prediction please.
5-0 Rangers.
Aberdeen versus Celtic at Pittodrie.
1-1.
Hearts versus Kilmarnock at Tynecastle.
2-0 Hearts.
Livingston versus Dundee United at the Tony Macaroni.
Dundee United 4-0.
Motherwell versus St Mirren at Fir Park.
1-0 Motherwell.
And Ross County versus St Johnstone at whatever Ross County's ground is called now.
1-1.
Global Energy Stadium.
What's it called?
The Global Energy Stadium. Nobody cares, right?
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897. Built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
What are you moaning about?
Didn't see my titles for chapter 3, and they're funny.
That is very good, actually. Part 3 highlight headlines were
Top Flight in Sight, Cinch Perfect, The Prempire Strikes Back.
God. So we're moving on to chapter 4 already.
Moving on to chapter 4. If Scottish football were a Christmas. That doesn't make grammatical sense, but you made sense of it. Some of the answers this week, probably the best ones that we've done. So, managers, footballers, referees, pundits, who would feature if Scottish football were Christmas? Let's go through some of them. I'm dreaming of a Craig White Christmas. Ewan?
I get it.
Yep. Duke the Halls.
Duke the Halls?
Aberdeen.
Oh, Duke. Aye. What's his first name again?
Louis Lopez.
Louis Lopez.
That's just both his names.
Yeah. How the Cinch Stole Christmas. That's from Thomas Armstrong.
Who's Cinch?
The Cinch Premiership.
Oh, the sponsor.
There's a lot to get through here. Just a heads up.
Bobble Ball and Goalie from Simon. Ange, post a card to you. From Stevie. Andy, driver home for Christmas. From Graham McLean. Evander Snow Globe. Dylan Levitt Snow, Levitt Snow, Levitt Snow. Oh Holy Night, Carol Starfield's brightening, brightly shining.
Oh Holy Night.
That's from Ricky.
The star is shining bright.
Blair, do they know it's Christmas time at Alston? From George Burns. That's good.
That's good.
And of course you've got the reindeers. Sasa, Gaza, Tanzer, Nixon, Dummett, Cooper, Bonner and Rixon. It's from Kenny Burgess. Bobble Baldy. Elf Fredo Morelos. Bobby Linsell from Michael M. So. Scrooge Keevens. Jingle Bell Yanusi from Nikki Breslin. Missile Joe Cardle.
Now they're getting worse.
From Mick. Right, I think we've got a winner here.
Do we? From
Mark Thompson. In my opinion, this is the best one. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for James McPake. Very good. That was very good. I like that one. Wraith Rovers.
Who?
Wraith Rovers.
Wraith Rovers, yeah.
Yeah. Ibrahim Bethlehem Danny from William. Bertie Auld Lang Syne. Elfie Ambrose. Jesus, Mary and Joseph Juranovic. It's very good from Tony Canahan. The Fairy Tale of New Douglas Park from John McLeod. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it to Stevie May. It's from Chrissy. Glasgow Mangers. I got that as I was reading it there. That was quite good. That's from Kenny Rankin. Georgia's Jackamakiss Me Under the Mistletoe from PB.
Have you ever kissed anyone under the mistletoe?
I think so, no.
I used to take a bit of mistletoe.
I'm not in a film.
Right. I used to take mistletoe to school with me. To see if I could get a few kisses.
I bet it was March. And people were very confused.
Yeah, and I was escorted out of school.
Yeah, you did that all year round, so that was the problem, Ian. That's where you were going wrong. What we got here? We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Holiday New Year from Craig Main. Kevin Ho 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 Hara from Robbie Devlin and JP McDonald. Great minds think alike. Simple minds never differ. Gordon McQueen's speech, or now I suppose it's Dave King's speech.
Yes.
That's from PMACB. Felice Navidado Perso from Andy King. Jonathan Gold, Ian Murr, and Frankincense McAvenny. That's from What's Your Top 5 podcast. Rio Hepati.
Patty?
Patty.
So I got to do it at Christmas.
Eat a patty at Christmas.
No, you don't. Nobody eats patty at Christmas.
I didn't suggest that, I just wrote it down.
Well, you clearly think they eat patty at Christmas, or you wouldn't put it down.
Do you know what happened last week, right? So I was making some food last week, and Callum came in to the kitchen and he was like, "What are you making?" I was like, "I'm making mince," as in like mince and ties. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then so what I did was I fried off the mince first.
So you
set
aside.
Did.
Yeah, totally.
Then fried off the vegetables.
Yeah.
And then put the mince back in.
Brilliant.
And Callum was, his mind was blown at this. He was like, "So, wait, you take the mince and you put it back in the pot and then you just put gravy in it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's mince, that's from Mince and Toys." He's like, "I've never seen this made before. Is that what, do people actually make this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm making it like right now. This is a thing." He was like, "So you're just going to have that for your dinner?" And I'm like, "Yes, yeah, I'm going to have that for my dinner." He's like, "I've heard about these things, but I've never actually seen it."
Have you never made mince and tatties in your life?
This is the kind of dish that would be handed to me by my granny, and I would just eat it, and it'd be great. And shout out Granny Urquhart, love you, 91.
I know Granny Urquhart, I love her as well.
She does not like you.
I know she doesn't like me.
She really doesn't like you, but no. I'd never make it because I'm not 83 years old.
I've made mince and tatties.
But you're old.
but I don't understand, like, is there an age limit to foods?
I think so. There's certain things that you don't make until you hit a certain age.
So would you mean, so what age would you have to be to make a scone? Because grannies are known to make scones. Is that a granny thing as well?
If you're making a scone and you're under 50, have a word with yourself.
What about, like, I also made lentil soup last week.
I think that's okay, because that's quite, like, on brand.
Nah, like, see, I disagree with you. I think broth and lentil soup and stuff like that, that's like an older generation thing.
So wait a minute, it's okay that I can make lentil soup.
But you can't make mince and tatties.
I can't make mince and tatties.
It's just, I just think it's weird that in your mind you went, I'm hungry for dinner tonight, what should I eat? I'll eat mince and tatties.
Well, when you put it like that, it's not the first thing that I would think of either.
No, but...
But as an older person, you would think like that.
Of course
that.
You would.
Actually, do you know what? You might be onto something here.
Thank you.
I think you could be right, because at no point in my life have I sat there like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and went, what am I going for my dinner tonight? Fancy some mince and tatties. I've never done it.
No.
But if somebody gave it to me, I'd eat it.
Love it.
Mate, you're right.
Thank you.
Mate, you're weird.
Have you ever made stovies? Have you ever gone home and thought, I'll make stovies?
No, you're actually, you're something wrong with you, Stephen Miller. Initially, I was
it's
on your side.
It's a perfectly legitimate dinner.
Nobody under the age of 85 thinks of making themselves mince and tatties.
Do you never just take a notion for something, though?
I've never had a notion for mince and tatties.
Never.
Never. I've never at any point sat there and went, I'm going to have mince and tatties for my tea tonight. It's always, we'll have a bit of chicken, or we'll have some curry, or we'll have a chili
something
or something.
Something with taste and flavour.
If I was going
to... mince and tatties is amazing!
The only time that I would
it's
use...
It's a staple!
If somebody said to me, we're going to have some mince tonight, I would automatically think chili con carne.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I'd think of. I wouldn't think about mince and gravy and mashed potatoes and carrots and stuff like that. It wouldn't come into my thinking. I can't believe how I've just been completely turned around here. Stephen Mill, that is weird that you thought
that. I think you two are a pair of snobs. You're snobs. You're food snobs.
Definitely not. Well, when I grew up, that was all we ate. My granny used to make all the time. Again, proving your point, my granny used to make mince and tatties all
snobs.
The time. She made lentil soup. She made potato soup as well, tatty soup, which was fantastic.
He didn't even call it mince. He called it ground steak. So this ground steak, is it going back into the casserole dish? With the gravy. Is it gravy as a consommé? Snobs.
So what did you do with the mince once it was cooked? Did you serve it with mashed potatoes, or was it boiled potatoes?
It was mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. So creamy mashed potatoes,
yep,
with the mince and the gravy, and the vegetable of choice was?
There were carrots through the mince.
Carrots through the mince, which is traditional mince and tatties.
And you just sit down and watch Coronation Street and put a electric blanket over your knees as well.
You had a cup of cocoa before he went to bed.
With his wee nightcap.
Wee nightcap, aye. His wee goonie. Wee slippers. Fluffy slippers. Wandering off.
To the toilet four times in the night.
Hot water bottle under his arm. Nighty night. Don't forget to put the lights off.
It'll be Maloney this Christmas from Jordan Max. So thank you very much to everyone who got in touch for If Scottish Football Were Christmas. Next week, If Scottish Football Were IKEA. That's what we're going for next week.
Why?
If Scottish football were IKEA. So, for example, Bedspready Thompson. Leon King-size bed. Fofor Park. Get your suggestions in at Big Football Scott on Twitter, or you can search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff as well.
You must pick a winner from the other ones.
I've got to pick a winner. I think the James McPake one should win that.
Well done, Mark Thompson. Well done, Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson's in Australia.
Well done, Mark. Is he in Australia?
He's in Australia.
You ever been to Australia?
I've been to Australia.
I've never been.
Been to Sydney and Adelaide and Brisbane.
The flight puts me off. That's why I've never been. And even though I lived in the Middle East and I was like more or less halfway to Australia, I still thought the 12, 13
it's
hours is still long.
It's 16 hours.
16 hours, yes. So I was like, and even though a lot of people say, well, if you're going to do it, maybe take a couple of days in Thailand, or take a couple of days in Dubai and then kind of split the journey up that way. But I just can't do it. I mean, it's even going to America when I went to Vegas for my 40th, which was, 3 years ago.
One of my mates went to Australia for the weekend in the summer for a wedding.
Nah.
He flew out on the Thursday morning and got back on the Monday night.
He didn't, did he?
Yeah, he went for a
wedding. That's crazy. There's just no point to that, I don't think.
Well, no, he went to see his mega man.
I don't care. I'd have watched it on Zoom.
No, but they... right, well, due to COVID and all the rest of it, like, it was delayed. He was meant to go, so he had the flights anyway. And then he actually flew back to Lisbon. He didn't even come back to here, so he flew back to Lisbon and had a week's holiday in Portugal, which is just the most bizarre thing. So there you are.
You ever been to Australia?
I have.
In turn,
I travelled for 6 weeks. Six weeks in Australia, 6 weeks in New Zealand.
Have a good time?
Great time, thanks very much. Played a lot of mini golf because I'm a bit of a loser. Next section.
Yeah, let's move on, I think. Yeah, definitely.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
So, another World Cup has passed, and yet again, both Scotland and England have not won the World Cup. So, England coming home early. Argentina beating the Netherlands on penalties. Croatia did the same to Brazil. Morocco stunning Portugal and becoming the first African team to reach a World Cup semi-final. And of course, England crashing out to France on Saturday night. Shame that. So the semis are Argentina versus Croatia and Morocco versus France. Ewan Cameron, my question to you is, who's winning the World Cup?
Can I just say, Morocco, I am loving them. It's such a brilliant story. It has been a World Cup of shocks. It's been a World Cup of drama. But Morocco's story is sensational. I'm loving every second of it.
Do you know what's going to happen against France? They'll get humped.
Well, yeah, we kind of discussed that on Saturday when we were doing the big Saturday football show.
Because they're dropping like flies. Yeah, they put so much effort into it.
They're two games.
All their best players are getting injured. France are going to absolutely destroy them.
I think it could be a hurdle too far for them against France and they could lose 3 or 4 nil. But the story of Morocco has been superb. I thought they were excellent against Portugal. Portugal just couldn't break them down.
Does it say a lot about Croatia that the story isn't Croatia? The fact that Croatia, a country of 4.5 million people, have reached yet another World Cup semi-final. What is this, their third or their fourth or something like that?
Yeah, can
I'm going to say, is that testament to how good Croatia are at punching above their weight that actually Croatia getting to the semi-final isn't that much of a shock?
I will. I think Croatia have done spectacularly well to get where they are, but they ultimately, for me, don't deserve to be there because I think they've been pretty poor. I thought Japan deserved to beat them. Brazil deserved to beat them. They had one shot on target in 120 minutes of football. They were playing for penalties from the get-go.
Do you know why they're playing for penalties? Because they've never lost on penalties.
What I'm saying is it's a brilliant story. A population of 4.5 million people up against a population of 200 million in Brazil. But Brazil really should have smashed them to smithereens. And they had the chances. Their goalkeeper was outstanding and again was brilliant in the penalty shootout. But one shot on target in 120 minutes, that tells you all about Croatia. They stay in it. They never know when they're beaten. They're dogged. They're defensive. They're very good at it. I hope they get blasted by Argentina. I really do.
Do you think Argentina, do you think this is the time for Messi to finally win the World Cup?
I wouldn't rule out Croatia because they're so dogged in everything that they do and I would not put it past them getting to the final again. I think it's too close to call, apart from France hammering Morocco.
So France are in the final.
France are in the final. I don't know who's going through.
In the semi-final. No, semi-final is a toss-up.
It's a toss-up for me just because how good they are defensively, Croatia. That's the reason why I can't call it. And despite the magic of Messi, he was outstanding against the Netherlands in that last game. I mean, he ran the show. And that was like old-fashioned football. I mean, there was everything in it.
It was great. I loved it.
Amazing. That penalty shootout. I've seen pictures of it afterwards. Is it Martinez is going to take his final penalty to win it? And the Holland players are all in his face.
But that's great.
It's amazing.
Like, and you see all these to see those soon. Wet knickers all over Twitter from like Dan Walker and losers like that. Who's just like,
classless.
It's classless, you know. It's classless. What they should do is they should shake each other's hand and then doff their caps and then get on the plane home because they've been pumped out. Right. Absolute loser mentality. If you're one of these people, you're a loser. If you didn't like that on Friday night, you're a loser.
Dan Walker, hypocrite.
Dan Walker is the sort of guy that pulls his pants down to his ankles when he goes for a pee. That's Dan Walker. An absolute loser of a man.
So he tweeted his criticism of the Argentina players getting in the faces of the Holland players after they won the penalty shootout. Oh, this is classless or whatever it was that he said. And then everybody underneath his tweet went, were you saying the same about England when they beat Colombia in the World Cup penalty shootout in the last 16 when the England players were pictured doing the exact same thing to Colombia?
Oh, but the Colombia players were just being awful during the match. They were being awful during the match, Ewan.
I need to go. I need to go for a pee. Hold on.
I'll take my pants down to my ankles and then stand like this and then go for a pee. Classless.
It was everything you want. And I tell you another great thing that stuff. I found in this World Cup, it means so much to the players. Look at how they react when they get knocked out. I mean, they're devastated. They're in tears. They're lying on the floor for 5-10 minutes at a time. It means so much to the players, to the fans, to the nation. I love it.
It's been great. Saturday night as well, France defeating England. England played quite well in the second half, I thought. They're moaning about the referee, rightly or wrongly, Ewan Cameron.
Well, they got two penalties. So the referee wasn't that bad for them. They got two penalties.
Mm-hmm. Would you like me to read you a tweet by Dan Walker about the referee?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Dan Walker, can we sub the ref? He's having a shocker, 4 exclamation marks. No, you can't get it right up you.
That's not how it works, Dan. That's not how it works. You can't sub the referee.
The only thing that I found disappointing about France beating England was that it wasn't on the BBC, because I wanted to see Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer and Rio Ferdinand in tears.
It was balanced out by getting to see Ian Wright, though.
Yes.
He does love a greet.
And do you know what? I have said this on numerous occasions. I think England, and I've said on this podcast, I think they're a very good side, right? They've got some great players, and I like a lot of their players. It's the media. I cannot stand the likes of Gary Lineker. See Rio Ferdinand. That's the arrogance.
I read a very, very interesting article last week from Stephen McGowan, who is sometimes on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. He's a Daily Mail journalist.
Yeah.
He's out in Qatar just now covering the World Cup for the Scottish Daily Mail. And he wrote a very interesting article where he was like, you know what? I'm not actually fussed if England go on and win it. He was like, because I'm in Qatar and I'm not seeing any of the coverage. So actually, they're just quite a good football team, and that's fine.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And he was like, I know for a fact, had I been watching this at home, I'd be like, get them out.
Yeah.
But because he didn't have to watch what
Lineker,
we have to watch
all the, at all. Here's an interesting stat for you, right, when it comes to England. And at no point have I heard Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer, Rio Ferdinand, Ian Wright, or any of them say this stat. Listen to this stat, right? Gareth Southgate has been in charge of 24 matches involving England against teams that are in the top 10 in the world or in and around England's level, and he's won 4 out of 24.
You know what, right?
They're very good at beating the teams they should beat, and then they get ahead of themselves. So because they beat Iran, and because they beat Senegal, and they beat Wales, and they beat Panama, and they beat Tunisia, Trinidad and Tobago, they get ahead of themselves. Their record against what you would describe as a top nation, 4 wins in 24.
Let's move on to chapter 6, shall we? Ewan's defrosting tips, we've already had them. You jumped ahead of the schedule. It was meant to be chapter 6, Ewan's defrosting tips, and you've jumped ahead of the schedule. Exactly what you were having a go at me for earlier on the podcast.
Also, it's chapter 6.
Did you read the full thing, though?
Chapter 6, yes, I've given you that advice already.
Yeah, exactly, because you've jumped ahead, Ewan. Exactly what you were having a go at me for.
It worked better when we did it, and you know why?
Why?
Because we're talking about fans going back to the football. Premiership action is back, fans are travelling, so it's the right time to give that advice.
Any other business, Ewan, before we go?
No, I'm fine, let's move on, because you want to get to your bed.
Okay, that's fine, yeah. That's it. Podcast done and dusted.
35 minutes.
I need to do more than 35 minutes.
That's the shortest podcast we've ever done.
We need to fill with something. 35 minutes.
No, I've pressed the outro theme, so we've got 35 seconds left.
We're done. I think it was a good 35 minutes.
I think it was good. Yeah,
I was entertained.
So this has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you to you, Ewan Cameron.
Thanks
to you all for listening and getting in touch as well. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast. Keep an eye on our socials for if Scottish football were a furniture showroom, IKEA, in other words. And we'll be back next Monday for the final podcast of 2022. It'll be emotional. Bye-bye, folks.